Welcome to the Dumb Phone Show. My name is Jose Briones, and today we have Kasia Bohenska with us. I think I said it well. She is head department of marketing at Mudita, a company that is bringing out a new dumb phone this fall. Hopefully it realizes. How's it going, Kasia?
Hi, Jose. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very happy to be here with you.
Yeah, we are really excited to hear more about Mudita and just the experience and, you know, just your journey in the dumb phone arena, the feature phone, you know, coming from smartphones and doing all of these things. And you have worked in many areas, right? You have had vast experience in the corporate world, and now you are at a startup. But, you know, we want to get to know you a little bit more. So tell us more about your journey, just, you know, who you are, what you do, Mudita, and What are some of the plans you have for, I don't know, this spring, summer?
Sure, with pleasure. So I can say that during my studies, I had a chance to volunteer to do internship and work in different countries, actually continents. And my like serious career, I started in the corporate, in a bank. But then I was always with this need to start my own company. So I thought that joining a startup world might be a safe step towards the goal. So I joined a community that is supporting startups. And then I felt that I want to be in the center of the action. And my goal was actually to join a company that is not only doing business, but also is solving a real or just important problem for me. And I was just very clear about my goal. And if I felt that if I won't find such company, well, then I will have to start it by myself. But luckily, among, I can say, thousands of profiles on LinkedIn, Mudita found mine and invited me for an interview. And I would say it was an instant match.
That's good to hear. I'm excited to hear that you have found a good environment and that, you know, Mudita hired you. You know, invite us a little bit into how Mudita has been working. You know, from the Kickstarter to the Indiegogo, you guys have remained on the background a lot. You know, we see a couple of videos and there's a lot of transparency, which I know the community appreciates. But I was just wondering, like, invite us into your day at Mudita, since you guys are hoping to bring a dumb phone. Like, does everyone there use a dumb phone? Do you guys use smart tools? What's going on in the backgrounds that we don't see?
Sure. Lots of questions. Let me start maybe with the fact that I joined Mudita over 3 years ago. And that was the time when we got really serious about delivering and commercializing the Mudita Pure, our minimalist phone. And the works on the part of the phone, so the antenna, started already before I joined. And we've been like working on a solution that will minimize the electronic radiation in the phone while still maintaining the signal strength. So once we had that, once we had this patented, we felt like it's the time to do it for real. So when I joined, we were over like 10 people. Right now it's over 100. So we're very serious about that goal, about delivering the phone, as you say. Finally, we can't wait to start the shipment to our first supporters. And for now, we have like the direct communication with our backers. We are not like spreading the word about what we're doing so widely. I feel like we're just waiting for the phone to actually be on the market. We have lots of journalists that express the will to review it. So before that, it's actually only we're able to share like our plans, the vision, mission, but everyone is just awaiting, like, you know, they want to hold this phone and be able to tell by themselves that is it, that are we delivering what we promised. So yeah, ahead of us is like the most important test to see how the community will receive our phone. So we can't wait for it this fall. And yeah, that's exciting.
It's good to hear, you know, that you are focusing on delivering the experience, right? And you have been using a prototype, right? A prototype for the Mudita Pure. Since, you know, you guys work, you guys are a big team, about 100 people. Does everyone have a prototype, or do people kind of like interact with different dumb phones? Talk to me a little bit more about, like, you know, what's the dynamics of working for a company that is pushing out a vision, a digital minimalist vision, you know, that's kind of like the term nowadays, right? But also, like, how is it to use a dumb phone? Do you guys then use communication through desktop, or, you know, what does it look like in that specific sense?
Sure. So I would say that for our company, there's no obligation to use a dumb phone. It's definitely, well, encouraged, and we are testing, like, lots of people from different departments are testing Mudita Pure right now. And before we had the prototypes that we could actually use and make phone calls, we order all kinds of minimalist or just plain feature phones to see what are the pain points in, like, the ones, you know, from the older generation phones, and what can we do better, because that was basically the notion that we felt, all right, people can switch to basic phones, but it really felt like pain, and we don't think that it should feel this way. We think that, you know, people still feel empowered, not like they're punishing themselves. So we were looking for this, okay, this is really not cool, like, what can we do about this, or like, where can we put this as even simple functionality, something that we know for decades right now, but like, to bring it to the 21st century without like necessarily making this more complex or distracting us.
That's very good for you to mention. And I kind of have the question then in my mind, you know, you guys try so many different dumb phones, simple feature phones, you know, whichever way you want to call them. So you're using a prototype right now for the Mudita. And so far, what are the pain points that you have in your prototype? Of course, it's not the final version, but what are some of those things that you're like, man, we need to improve in this area, so when we finally deliver, is going to be a better experience for everyone?
Sure. So the most exciting, I think, right now at this phase is that, like, every month you can see the improvement of it, since there are about like 30 people working on the software right now, because we really have to make it work. So I mean, it is working, but then like, we have the scope, you know, like the minimal kind of viable product, and right now we're adding and optimizing everything. So it's great to see this progress every month to month. We're getting the software releases right now. It is finally possible to update your software via the desktop app, which is super, super exciting, because that's like the experience that the customer will our users will also get. So for now, it was like more of a, you know, very like geeky way to do the update. Right now is super convenient. So with every release, we see the new improvement. Obviously, not everything is the way it will be or we would like it to be right now. So for example, for the battery, it is already better than the smartphones, but we want to optimize it further and make it as long lasting as possible. But this is challenging because the like energy optimization happens like as a last piece. So you can be tweaking in the process, but like the most important part of it can happen like at the end of the process. So yeah, that's one of the things. Well, it's still fighting for the stability of the system, but it really is improved right now. Like, I don't have the problems that it will shut down unexpectedly. It was happening like months before. Right now, it is really better. Well, I would say that also predictive text is something that we are still exploring how to make the typing experience better, since obviously there are different preferences when it comes to typing. And I feel that for this kind of phone, you don't really expect to write longer messages on the phone itself. You rather grab the phone and call someone, which is also cool because it basically encourages you to do it instead of you like having the conversation, the text. But it will be possible. It is possible to write longer, especially longer messages via the desktop app. So I think what's really unique for our phone is that how much you'll be able to do from your desktop, and we think it's way more convenient and efficient.
Absolutely. And I really like that you're saying that, you know, it kind of requires a little bit of a philosophy shift, right? Like, you know, when smartphones first started, it was more about calls, you know, quick access, convenient. I don't have to drive to my friend's house. I don't have to go and talk with them and that, but I was able to, you know, just give them a phone call. It was not like a pager or something like that, you know, for those of us that remember that period. You're saying that this kind of requires more of like a mindful, you know, cause like, let me call somebody instead of texting them, you know, kind of like a rededication of that. Talk to me a little bit about the journey, right? Like, you know, so you were alive during the dumb phone era, the golden dumb phone era that is has a little bit of a renaissance right now. And you have used smartphones as well. So like, what has been your journey in that? And talk to me from the different perspectives, just a practical perspective and maybe also a philosophical perspective.
Yes, I like to say that I feel very grateful to be in a generation that know the offline childhood. And then, you know, once I was, I don't even remember the exact date, but it was when I was 16 or so, and when I got my first phone. And it's definitely later than right now, the average when the kid received their phone. And it is great to have this comparison. So I feel that our generations are very gifted with that. They know how it can be without that, even though we tend to forget, because it's easy to get very accustomed to the state of the things as of now. So I'm really happy to have this. And I would say that once I joined Mudita over this 3 years ago, I started to read more research articles. And I feel that like 3 years ago, it was really getting to mass media, even the awareness of the influence that technology can have on different areas of our lives. And I felt that I finally understood the mechanism behind my behavior. So something that I felt, you know, I started to feel and recognize as something that how the technology is influencing me. And I started to realize that I shouldn't be so mad about myself, or like feel so guilty all the time that like, oh, how did I end up scrolling for 1 hour again? And then I sort of realized that that's the way it's actually design programmed. So the best engineers, the biggest brains of this world are working on optimizing the algorithms that will attract our attention and retain it for as long as possible. So when you realize it, you're like, whoa, I mean, what can I do to take back that control? Because the fact that, you know, you shouldn't feel guilty about it, but you are still responsible for setting the environment that will allow you to have more control, and to the way you spend your time will be more aligned with your long-term goals. So I always like to tell my friends or whoever I meet that, like, don't feel so bad about it. So that you feel like, oh, I'm so weak. Like, where's my self-control? Well, that's normal. For most of the day, you can be controlling yourself, but then you have a weaker moment, and then boom, 1 hour on doing, you don't even know what. So in order to take that control, we have to start, I would say, observing and then experimenting with what kind of services make us use too much of our time that we actually would like that. So I started, once I realized that, I also started to configuring my phone that it will be less of a distraction and be less tempting, I would say.
I think you are definitely putting it very succinctly that, yes, we have the brightest minds in the world are looking to, you know, create a system, create just a way that is so satisfying, is so embedded, you know, and we don't have to feel bad. And I think that's a feeling that a lot of people have, a feeling that I used to have a lot, that it's like, man, I'm spending a lot of time on my smartphone, I'm spending a lot of time on this specific app. But it's just like, you know, you're working not only against an app, you're working against all the people that have design that app. And, you know, sometimes it will be regulating or uninstalling the app, maybe a way to reduce your time. Because, you know, there are certain apps that are very useful, right? Like, for example, WhatsApp, a medium of communication outside of the, for me, at least outside of the United States, I can communicate with people all over the world, you know, and it's something that I don't want to lose access to, but I don't have to have it on my phone all the time, right? Like, you know, I can use it on my computer, I can find a different device to use it for, you know, things of that nature. And I like that you mentioned that you started to notice these things first, and to not put the guilt on your just your human nature. You know, we are compulsive individuals sometimes, and we like to get the best, the fastest. You know, we try to optimize all these things. So I really appreciate that you're mentioning that, and that there's a philosophy shift that needs to happen before you realize, well, you know what, let me take control. Maybe it's introducing a feature phone, or maybe it's introducing an app that blocks other apps, like, you know, things of that nature. Everybody has a different methodology. And maybe I want to take the conversation a little bit in that sense, because Mudita seems to be not only about a feature phone, right? You guys are not only focusing on the Pure. You guys have released a couple of extra things. You guys have the meditation cards with, I think it's called Mudita Pause, right? Like, you know, if I'm getting it right. So tell me a little bit more about that philosophical change that you guys experienced at Mudita, and what are you trying to accomplish with that?
Sure. So definitely, like internally, we are working on different solutions that will be able to address different needs and problems. Because once we started the communication about Pure, I feel like we got like really good reception, and it's really encouraging to see how many people already recognize that they have problem and they want to do something about it. So it is really great to already see it. It's not mainstream, but I really feel it's a growing group of conscious tech users that we want to provide solutions that will support them in this more balanced use of technology. And for everyone, it means something different. So when people were telling like, yeah, it's great, but like I can't really survive without WhatsApp or navigation, we really get it. But also there are people that say like, yes, it should stay as it is right now. No internet, that's the beauty of it. You're cutting everything in a more radical approach. So we felt like, yes, we want to keep Mudita Pure like this, so without the internet directly on the phone. It is still possible to use the internet, but you have to share it via the cable to your desktop, to your laptop. So we think, well, it's way more efficient and more intentional, because you won't like take out your laptop every 2 minutes, you know, just because you feel bored. You're more like, okay, I have to do something, and to perform this task, well, very often you need the internet. So we still think it's important, and we allow to do that. Yes, we are working on different devices that, like, for some people would be less radical, would be including more useful and like utilitarian features that we've been balancing this approach of like the privacy and security, and also like the amount of features that you have. So we are working also on a second generation phone that will be able to address more people that are not ready for this like a complete shift from a smartphone to a dumb phone.
Right. And that's a good thing. I think that you guys are thinking ahead, you know, of like, you guys will have a more radical product per se, like, you know, that doesn't have access to all these things, but there may be in the future a second generation device or a different kind of device. Maybe it's not called the Pure, maybe it's called something else, right? Like, you know, that brings more of those features that other people may need, like, you know, podcast, music, tools, you know, like something like the Lightphone 2, of course, like, you know, kind of like a competitor, a direct competitor, more in that vein, not too radical in that sense of going back all the way back. And you pointed towards that philosophical change right there, that it's just like, you don't have to use your device every 2 seconds because now you have to connect it to your computer. It needs to be more mindful use. Is that something that is encouraged in the company, you know, as a whole, you know, that you guys talk about or sessions? I don't know. What is other changes that you guys are hoping to bring to the table, you know, not only smartphone wise, but just human philosophy, human technology use, relationships, things of that nature?
Yes. What we also communicated so far, that we would like to bring an alarm clock, as simple as that, but a device that will finally motivate us to and encourage us to get rid of our smartphones, that it is very, like, I would say, natural right now to use it as an alarm clock, but it has numerous effects on us. It is very tempting then to scroll right before going to sleep, which can affect even the melatonin in our body and like the whole circadian rhythm, and you know, it keeps us stimulated when we're supposed to be shutting down slowly our system to fall asleep. And also, it is very often just to grab your phone as if the first thing you do in the morning, that sets already your sometimes the mindset, sometimes the tone for the whole morning or even the day, that you were like already, okay, like I have to be responsive. That's already that it's going on, and we are more like reactive rather than intentional again about how we're spending our morning. So that's one thing. And we're also thinking about different product categories where we can implement that, like that health and well-being in the center. So that's what we basically aim at, is to provide solutions that are really aligned with our health and with our needs, like in the long term, not just like the momentary desires.
It's good to hear, because you guys are trying to merge maybe a little bit more of the analog world. You know, it's kind of like we have an analog world that we have maybe forgotten about, you know, and there's this, all of these tech replacements, you know, even there's apps for meditation, you know, there's Headspace, there's a lot of competitors, and a lot of, you know, different, everybody kind of trying to grab your attention, even if it's for a good purpose, you know, even if it's for meditation, there's apps for that. Even if it's for religious experiences, there's an app for that. You know, even if it's for like whatever it is that you're into, that may be a wholesome activity, there's always like using tech in order to get to that. Whereas it seems to me that you guys are trying to approach it from more of like, let's get out there, let's go to the woods and, you know, maybe experience it that way instead of having to use a computer, a digital portal. As we have a couple of final minutes, let me ask you two more questions and then I'll give you a final word. And essentially is like, how has COVID-19 impacted, you know, all of that? How is life in Poland, essentially, with more technological advances needed, things of that nature, QR codes? How's life over there, and how are you guys battling, you know, kind of like that balance in between?
Well, yeah, where to start? COVID-19. Well, we're already 1 year in that, and right now Poland is at its worst moment, I feel, when it comes to the amount of new cases and that's right now. It's like we call it it's our third wave, but it is really severe right now. And in the beginning of it, like, it will be 1 year already when we ask ourselves, what can we do, as we have like the engineers and mechanics, people with great expertise, and they decided that, like, why not try to build the solution that will be helpful for that time. And that's how we end up like being like really hands-on, I mean, like really devoted to build a simplified ventilator. And that's something that one of the our like part of the team was like really working on and providing the functioning device within months. So it was ready to serve the people, and the first prototype was within first week. So it really showed like how we can actually pull things through. And we like to say that, like, you know, the beauty of this product was that it has the metal construction, so no molding form. As you might know, we are still struggling the most with the molding form, and this one has no part related to the molding form. That's why we had like the full control over the engineering of the solution. That's why we were able to pull that through so fast. But right now we're just waiting for the certification. It is not just certification. It is really requiring a lot of time, even though there was like special dedicated for the emergency solution, like a fast track for the FDA as well. Although it is taking more time than we would like, because like we would like to be able to help with that. But obviously it is understandable that everything has to be checked before it actually goes to the patient. So that's understandable. So that was one of the ways that we decided to, can we do something about the current situation and avoid the shortages in the equipment and like on the medical field. And yeah, for us, like we moved to the remote work mostly, so we didn't have real problem with that, because like it was already possible for us. I think we're just missing like this direct contact, and then like you're exchanging the ideas, but like the engineers are like for most of the times they're still in the office. Well, they have all the equipment in the office, so it will be hard for them to do everything remotely. So what you brought up, the point about the QR code, and it is interesting indeed to be monitoring, you know, what areas the COVID also influenced, that we have to right now have the smartphone in order to survive. However, I still think that in the restaurant, so there's always a way to do without smartphone. So I don't think we're at the point where you feel like you're not able to accomplish something without the smartphone yet. However, you know, we are going in that direction, so it is a challenging aspect.
Absolutely. And I think that's going to be a challenge to feature phones and to things in the future, but hopefully we don't get there, and hopefully we can build tools also that feature phones are able to access. I know at least with the KaiOS devices, they have their QR code app, and you know, that's a good thing, because if things tend to be a little bit more technological, I still think there's a space, you know, for feature phone devices, and maybe not internet connected devices for us to do that. Casias, thank you very much for just coming in and sharing with us a little bit more about Mudita, what's coming up. I want to give you a final word, whatever you want to say to the audience, and you know, it's your time. Go ahead.
Thank you again. And what I can add is basically to highlight what we talked about before, is that if you feel like you're not happy with the amount of time you spend on a service on the smartphone, see what kind of services, what kind of apps take most of your time. Think, can you do without them on your phone? I know it's difficult to delete all your profiles on the social media, and I don't even encourage you to do it. I mean, it's up to you, but try, for example, having it deleted, or have the application or like the controls and limit that time. And also on the desktop, there are great ways to for example, for Facebook, I use a newsfeed eradicator that basically keeps all the functions of the Facebook, because I still need to be there for my work, but there's no scroll, there's no timeline. It is all replaced by the quote. So if you feel like that's like something that makes you scroll for way too long, that that's a way to do it. And I feel there's more and more solutions like that. So you just have to see what you have the problem with and experiment, test it, try one step at a time. It doesn't have to be radical unless you like it this way, because there are different types of people. So just take back that control.
We thank Kasia Bochenska for coming to us today from Mudita and Poland to share her experience from the European dumb phone perspective. Make sure to check out Mudita and their products at mudita.com. And if you have any other questions or anything else, make sure to send us an email at thedumbphoneshow@gmail.com. So if you have anything else that you need, please let us know. And as always, we remind you to stay focused on your goals.